Proverbs chapter 6. That's on page 443 in the Pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 6. And what I'm going to do as we finish out Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to also read chapter 7. Chapter 7 is on a similar theme that we've already seen in Proverbs, which is a chapter against sexual sin, and rather finishing chapter 6 that I think is a whole unit that ends on sexual sin, and then next week coming back and having a couple of more sermons on sexual sin. We're going to read the end of chapter 6, we'll read chapter 7, and we'll deal with this this together. It will, of course, come up again in the Proverbs as it is a common theme that is found throughout, but I thought we would deal with it in one lump today and then come back to chapter 8 next time. So starting at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, and I'll read through the whole of chapter 7. Hear God's word. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you may give many gifts. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youth a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the streets near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. And here ends the reading from God's holy and inspired word. And may God bless the reading of that to our hearts and minds. Now, we have looked at chapter 6 within the context of Solomon preparing a son to go out into the world. And this son was given four great pieces of advice as he went out into the world. And we've looked at each one of those separately, and I've reminded you each time that as Proverbs in its original context is written from Solomon, or the majority from Solomon, to his son in preparation for life in this world and a call to pursue wisdom, with that as the original context, we know that all of the Word of God is profitable to us as the people of God. And we're able to generalize that and apply that to our individual conditions and places where we find ourselves. So despite it being written to a son and from Solomon, we're not offended by that. We take that and we apply that to us, and the Holy Spirit applies that to us as well. So the son goes out. He's given four pieces of advice. The first was to not take on debt that belongs to another person. The second was to be industrious, to shun laziness, and to work hard in this life. The third that we saw last week was to avoid friendships and affiliations with wicked people. Those friendships and affiliations do not end well. And then today, we read a rather long section that deals with sexual sin, and you'll see, or if you look at the end of chapter 6 and then all of chapter 7, they sort of mirror one another. They mirror one another in the advice that they give and the reasons and the ways that sexual sin is to be avoided. And we'll look at all of this section together. But as this young man is sent out into the world, and as Solomon is reminding him of the life that he is going to enjoy and the life that he's going to have even as a young covenant youth, this reminder is here in the end of chapter 6 and chapter 7 that sexual sin is something that is able to destroy. And it's something that is able to destroy even among God's covenant youth. And I want you to think about that. This is not written to those in the world. It's not written to those that have not been brought up under the preaching of the word, or those that are brought up without a knowledge of the Messiah. This is a proverb for covenant youth in its context. And I want you to look at chapter 7, and you can meditate on this more later. I won't develop this fully, but the harlot of chapter 7 is also a covenant youth. She has gone and she's made her peace offering. She's gone and she's worshiped God. And she says to this young man, I've already gone to the temple. I've already paid my dues. I've already given my peace offering. Now come with me. And friends, the reason I think that that is there is a reminder that the battle for the souls of our young people, or the battles of the souls of husbands or wives or anyone that's dealing with sexual sin, it's not something where the battle is just those in here versus those out there. It's something where we see even among, in this proverb, the end of 6 through the end of 7, we see this proverb is a young man raised in the context of the church and a young woman raised in the context of the church. We see the dangers of that. So what does this sin do? The first is that it causes, according to the proverb, it causes young men to waste their income and their money. You think, well, that's very, very superficial. It is in the big picture, but it is a reality. The young man is wasting money, and it's leading to ruin. You can think of the story of the prodigal son. He goes out and he wastes his inheritance on what the scriptures call riotous living. And this riotous living has generally been interpreted as spending money on a life of partying and orgy and sexual satisfaction. It causes income and money to be wasted. Secondly, it threatens death. Men in this proverb are killed by the one that is hunting for him. Who is hunting for him? It is her husband. Her husband is going to go out and he is going to seek justice. And the way that justice will be sought is through vengeance. This is something that will lead to ruin. Thirdly, it's something that brings guilt and violates the law of God. So it's not merely just superficial sin or sin that causes man against man problems, but it is a sin against God. We could think even of David in Psalm 51, where he says, it is against you and you alone that I have sinned. So guilt before God and violating the law of God. Four, it ruins reputation and it makes man guilty in his community as well. People that are known as adulterers or known as those that go out with other men's wives or women that go along with other women's husbands, they are people of ill repute. Their reputation is stained within the community. And friends, even as low as our community standards are for human sexuality, this is still something that brings stain upon communities. You can think of when a neighbor's house goes for sale and the whisper in the neighborhood is, oh, so-and-so committed adultery and now they need to sell their house. These are things that are still shameful even in our society. Number five, it exposes others to sin and it leads to others living in rebellion against God as well. It's not a sin where it's just between me and God, so to speak. It's a sin where it's a public scandal because there's more than one person involved in that sin. And then lastly, it results in apostasy. So remember, this is someone within the context of the church, and damnation. That's what the proverb tells us. This is the end result. If this is the trail that one is walking down, and they say, what's at the end of this trail? The end of the trail of sexual sin for the Christian is apostasy and the end of the trail for all of those that walk down that trail and continue on that trail is hell. That's what the scriptures say. So what do we see in this? If we were, that's sort of the 10,000 foot picture. What if we come down and we're going to look at verses 20 through 26 of chapter 6, and we're going to see in fighting sexual sin, which is what the point is here from Solomon, we're going to begin with looking at the word, the place of the word in fighting sin. Look at verses 20 through 26. My son, keep your father's commands. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them on your neck. When you roam, they'll lead you. When you sleep, they'll keep you. When you're awake, they'll speak to you. For the commandment's a lamp, the law's a life, reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue. So you see, as Solomon is saying, go out into the world, go and make a life for yourself, young person, and yet avoid this and understand that this is something that you need to be mindful of. If the young man says to Solomon, how am I going to fight this? How is it that I'm going to fight this? Solomon says, make the word of God central. Make the word of God central in your life and in your fight of this sin. This is the place of God's word in fighting all sin. And yet specifically here, as Solomon brings out sexual sin, we first see the covenant promises, verse 20, your father's law and your father's command and the law of your mother. This is something that is within covenant promises. We search the word of God and we remind ourselves who we are before the Lord. Where do you stand? Who are you? What is your identity? And as the word of God is consumed, verse 21 says that it will become a part of you. Bind them on your heart. Tie them on your neck. Let the word of God consume you. Let the word of God fill you. Let the word of God be that which directs you. And that's where he goes next. He says that the scriptures will lead you. Verse 23, when you roam, the scriptures are going to be there to call you back. Verse 23, they're going to lead you. And then verses 24 through 26, they will keep you because they will help you to discern the flattery of the one that pulls you away from Christ. You know, the world seeks to flatter, not just in the context of what we're talking about here, but in all things. You can think about in your careers, or you can think about the ways that the world may want to get you to do certain things, and there's flattery that's used. And here we're told to know the word of God so that we have eyes of discernment, that we're able to fight against sin. And when this sin is not fought, verse 26 tells us that this man is reduced to a crust of bread, something that is essentially just an end product, something that is thrown out, something that is of little lasting value, and a reminder of the poverty that is able to come from those that walk in this sin. So you're going to fight using the word of God. Fight sexual sin. Know the word of God. Read the word of God. Memorize the word of God. This is going to be your first defense against all sin, is having the word of God in your heart. Hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against God. That's what the scriptures tell us. Memorize the word. Use God's word as that fight against sin. Secondly, we see verses 27 through 29, and we could call this the fire of sexual sin. The fire of sexual sin. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife who touches her shall not be innocent. So the imagery that's used here is the imagery of a fire. Now this morning, if you were in Sabbath school downstairs, Mark used language to distinguish between things that are ordinary and things that are extraordinary. You remember that conversation for those of you that were here. So apply that to this. Can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burnt? So you're not supposed to go, well, Pastor, I was at Universal Studios and I watched the Hollywood show and the guy catches himself on fire and talks about how they do that in film. Or, you know, I was at the circus and there was this guy that walked on the coals and, you know, they're on fire and he doesn't get burned. Those are extraordinary. This is talking about that which is ordinary. If you were to take fire, if you were to reach in the fire pit and grab the red coals and pull them to your chest, what will the result be? You're going to get burned. Or if you took off your shoes and you walked across fire, or you walked across the red hot coals, what will the experiential reality be in your life? Your feet will be burned. And this is what Solomon is telling us here. When we think about this sin and the way that so many open up their lives to this sin and they think to themselves that they won't get caught or they won't get burned, Solomon says, even for himself experientially, he says, realize this. You are playing with fire. And when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. One commentator said, there is imminent danger as he takes fire in his bosom and takes up hot coals. The way of this sin is downhill. Those that venture upon the temptations to it hardly escape the sin. The fly fools away her life by playing with the flames. And it is a deep pit. It is a madness that you venture to brink upon. He that keeps company with those that go with them and touches them cannot long preserve his innocency. He thrusts himself into temptation and throws himself out of God's protection. God says, here are the boundaries. And the one in this sin says, I'll walk over here. I know it's fire, but I will not be burned. And the scriptures say, you, my friend, are a fool, for you will be burned. We're reminded of the punishment of adultery in the Old Testament. There's very few sins in the Old Testament where the penalty for those that get caught is the death penalty. And adultery is among those. It shows that God takes this so seriously. As those that would walk on hot coals, having the foot get burned. Proverbs 6:29 brings home the point of this. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. So it's this life in harm's way life on coals, life pulling the fire pit upon yourself, saying, I think I can manage this. And friends, it always starts with a lesser sin. It always starts with, here in the context, with the young man putting himself around friends that this is their life, or things they are dealing with, or things that they're thinking about. And as that door is opened, and as the young man walks in that direction, or the young woman, too, walks in that direction, there is, in a sense, a ladder that is climbed. Nobody begins with adultery. Nobody wakes up in the bed of another man's wife and says, I have no idea how I move from good church-going boy to here. There is a ladder of progression. And that ladder of progression is pulling these coals in, pulling them in, or walking here outside of God's revealed will, walking here along the coals and trying to convince him or herself that burning will not happen, that you will be the exception to the rule. And again, if you asked yourself, what sort of human would reach into a fire pit and pull coals close and hold them close? You would have all sorts of different words that you might use. And I think the scripture uses fool. That it's the fool that will get burnt. Only a fool scoops hot coals and hugs them close and dumps them in his lap, thinking that there will be no consequences to that behavior. And that's where the proverb takes us next, the foolishness of sexual sin. Starting at verse 30 and ending at 35, and again, I said chapter 7 mirrors the end of chapter 6. You can work that out sometime during the week if you'd like. But there that says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. When he's found, he restores. He may have to give up the substance of his house. Whosoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He does so, destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and reproach it will not be wiped away for jealousy of a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts. So Solomon's beginning with telling us, imagine that there's a thief who's hungry. Imagine if he has kids. And the thief, he goes out, he goes into Winn-Dixie or whatever his grocery store is, and he steals a bunch of stuff. And he gets caught. And you say, why did you steal that food? And he says, I don't have a job, and I was hungry, and so I ate the food. And Solomon says, we look at that thief and we say, I understand. Let's just get that bill paid. It's all right. We'll move on. That's not how it is with sexual sin. We think of the thief. The thief gets pity for stealing. He pays back, and it's something that sometimes causes wrath and fury, but he repays and he moves on. And you can look at that and say, well, maybe it's for his children, or it's because he's hungry, and these sorts of things. But those that commit this sin, those that go after another man's wife, Solomon says, there's no pity. There's no pity there for those that fall into this sin. The scriptures here tell us that he wears disgrace forever. He's made an enemy of a husband, and most likely an enemy of his own wife. There is no pity. There is only disgrace and vengeance. Someone is angry. Someone seeks to be repaid. But most importantly here, in the foolishness of sexual sin, he destroys himself spiritually. And friends, you can think, if you've been in the Church of Jesus Christ for longer than 5 years or a decade, you'll know a story or two about someone that you knew professing faith, committed adultery, and you watched over time that life shipwreck. Sometimes it's ministers, sometimes it's elders, sometimes it's people that you would just say they were a good family. We would have never expected it. And you watch a life being shipwrecked, and you watch a spiritual life go down the tank. And that is what we're told here, as this young man goes out and he starts life and he's holding on to his Bible and he's saying, I'm going to go out and I'm going to live as Pastor Nathan said this morning. I'm going to bring glory to God in all of my life. As Solomon sends him out into the world and he gives him these reminders, as he gives him these reminders of the things that we see in chapter 6, where he says, son, there's just a few things I'm going to tell you before you go out. I want you to not take on other people's debt. That's something that's going to be problematic. And I want you to work hard, and I want you to not be lazy. I want you to bring glory to God in your work. And I want you to avoid friends that are wicked, because wicked friends are going to cause you to think about doing wicked things. And lastly, avoid sexual sin. Because right now, as you're bright-eyed and as you're ready to go out into the world and you want to bring glory to God and you're holding your Bible close, the reality is when you trip and fall in this way, most likely your fall will be permanent. And friends, it's not always that way, but it's often that way. And it's a warning. It's a warning to guard our hearts and to watch our lives. And it's a warning to cling tightly to Jesus Christ and to continue to believe the Bible and to continue to trust in the gospel. And it's a reminder to continue to grow in our sanctification and not turn like Lot's wife and look to the world, but keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, walking forward and living our lives for Him. Hell is the result of the one who permanently stumbles in this way. Solomon gives advice, and here he warns against adultery, old words, harlotry. He warns against fornication. And we realize that all of these things categorically are the same. Rungs on one ladder. A ladder that descends, not ascends. And we're called here with this young man to look to Jesus, the one that forgives sin, that forgives sexual sin, to look to Jesus, the one who sanctifies and the one who will keep us. You see, we have all either been in that place where we have been sent out into the world, or we have young people that we will send out into the world. And we need to know these things, that Christ may be best glorified among our young people, and that we avoid these sins that are so often placed in front of them as stumbling blocks. Teach your children to look to Jesus and to keep their eyes on Him. Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for these promises, and we ask, O Lord, that You would keep us, that You would keep us from sin. And we know that not all struggle with this sin in this way, as in the Proverbs it is put forward in such a forward way. Lord, we pray that we would all hate our sin and we would look to Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.